It is my joy and honor to present our guest preacher today. He's an old friend from back in the days of Springfield, Missouri. You guys have heard me talk about that quite a bit. Reverend Jim Downing has had several pastors, but just an amazing pastorate at First Church in Sedalia, Missouri for 26 years, which they've welcomed over 1,000 people at two different sites, and those two different sites changed over time. And Jim is one of the most creative pastors that I know, and he's just amazing. He's my go-to guy to talk about sacraments during licensing school, and has been the chair for the Order of Elders for our Missouri Conference. And so we had the opportunity to hear this man talk about the Holy Spirit today. So, Brother Jim, come on up.
Thank you. Thank you very much. No pressure. Thanks so much. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for all who are worshiping with us online today. You have a beautiful facility, and it just reflects the beautiful people that worship here. I'm so honored to get to be among you today and to share in this message. Now, I did participate in many of the things that you talked about, but my real claim to fame is I'm a grandfather. Yeah. Five times over, and they're all boys. And the oldest one turned 13 this year. He has a 9-year-old little brother, and he has a 6-year-old little brother. So there's 6, 9, and 13 in my son's family. They live in Kirksville, and my son said to be sure to tell your twins howdy, and greetings to you all. My daughter and her husband live in Peculiar, Missouri. I was raised in Normal, Illinois, and now I have grandsons from Peculiar, Missouri. Go figure. Actually, I was born in Branson, the state capital, so that just is a whole nother story. In that family, there's a 6-year-old who's the oldest, and his little brother is 2 years of age, Joshua and Caleb. Now, Caleb is trying to figure the world out. And so his dad was talking with him the other day, and it seemed like he was tracking with what his father was saying. He was trying to figure out. And so his dad says, now, I'm your dad, and mommy is your mom, and Joshua is your brother, and grandpa is your mom's dad, and grandpa Bill is my dad. And so he's trying to figure all of this out, and Caleb is just nodding, and with each relationship, the nod gets bigger and bigger. And then finally, when it seems like his dad is done, he interrupts and he says, and Papa Jim is, I'm his dad. So they've got a little work to do in figuring that out. I'm not here to help you understand completely the work of the Holy Spirit today. We'll still have some things to figure out. But your pastor did a beautiful job in sharing who the Holy Spirit is last week. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that and what the Holy Spirit does. But first, I'd like to invite you to join me in a prayer. And it's an ancient prayer that dates all the way back to the time of Jesus. In fact, it was popular 40 years before Jesus came on the scene. So when he was a little boy and a teenager and adult, he would have prayed this prayer morning, noon, and night at least 3 times a day, in addition to the Shema, which is a beautiful prayer of the Jewish people. He would have prayed this blessing prayer. And I think there's a slide on the screen that will appear. And it's kind of a fill in the blank at the end where you can say the fruit of the vine, the fruit of your word, the fruit of our love, the fruit of our family. But today we're going to use the ancient verse that Jesus would have been taught when he was a child and would have prayed regularly. And the posture of this prayer is for us to have the palm of our hands open, our faces lifted, and our hearts willing to receive from God. And so we would pray together, if you would join me. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, and blessed is the fruit of the vine. Amen. Thank you for doing that. There will come a day with the promise and the hope of people who have been oppressed, confused, worried, upset, generations of generations knowing that all they had to look forward to was make more bricks, here's less straw. We're referring, of course, to the children of Israel in the time when they were in captivity for 400 years, crying out, God, save us, help us, deliver us. There will come a day. Can you think of special days that you and I look forward to? Maybe it's a birthday, or maybe, oh, it's that birthday. Maybe it's a wedding celebration, an anniversary. Maybe it's a special day in the life of one of our children. It's the day you walk across a stage or you receive a diploma or someone recognizes you for the hard work or the diligent work that you have done. Those are special days, aren't they? Joshua and Caleb, the two that I was referring to, the six-year-old and the two-year-old, had one of those days recently when Joshua could not wait for his little two-year-old brother, who sometimes gets into his stuff, to get up. And it seemed a little unusual that he kept asking, when is Caleb going to get up? When is Caleb going to get up? And then Caleb finally gets up and he runs into his room and says, Caleb, come with me. Today is the day. And Caleb, kind of bleary-eyed, didn't understand. And Joshua takes him into his room and he says, Caleb, today is the day. And I'll tell you the rest of the story by the time that we finish. Because there are days like that day. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, God talks about a day that is yet to come. It's a prophecy of a day when things that have been wrong are made right. And the words appear on the screen, and God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And I love that because I'm one of those. Your young men will see visions. And the next verse says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And the beauty of this inclusivity is that no one is excluded from receiving this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God says, that day's coming. Throughout the history of the Jewish people, they find deliverance. They move from Egypt. They go to the promised land. They're awaiting some stir or some sense or some news that a Messiah will come and fully deliver the people. And then in 400 more years of silence between the close of the Old Testament and the advent of Jesus coming, finally the day arrives. A baby born in Bethlehem, announced by angels, baptized in the Spirit of God, descends upon that baptism in blessing. And Jesus will teach God's ways. Jesus will tell of God's love. Jesus will demonstrate the power of God to heal physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. And then Jesus will talk of the day. In John chapter 14, verse 19 and 20, Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. On that day, you will realize this. Now, we're going to go back to that scripture here in just a minute, but I brought a little prop with me today, and remember, this is a low-budget operation because I come from Sedalia. And so here's the envelope, if you will. And this envelope contains some things. In fact, it contains the rest of this scripture because on the front of it, it says, on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father. And the Father represents God for us. Like if you've ever wondered if anyone was ever in your corner, God's in your corner. God is for you, not against you. God's pulling with us and realizes that sin separates us, but grace saves us. And so Jesus says, in that day you'll realize I'm in the Father and you are in me. Because the God who is for us is also the God that came to be with us. And whether you realize it or not, you have never, ever truly been alone. And so I want you to say with me, I am not alone. Would you do that? I am not alone. Now, I want you to look around and catch someone's eye and say, you are not alone. You are not alone. Now, everyone that's in the sanctuary, let's say it to the folks who are online. They can't necessarily see us, but they know we're here, right? And we know they're there. So we're going to say, you're not alone. Because here it is. You'll realize on that day that I, Jesus, am in the Father, and you are in me. And then we get to the subject of the day. And I am in you. Because the Holy Spirit, though it's kind of elusive in our ability to describe and fully understand, is the presence of Jesus and God in our lives. So God who is for us and with us is now a God that says, I will live in you. Holy mystery, beauty, power, presence. There will be a day. Joel spoke of it. Jesus says, in that day you'll know these things. And the day finally came. Because in the same chapter, Jesus says, I'm going away so that I can send the Spirit to you and for you. And so for all the things that you could have picked from the Old Testament, all of this part of the Bible, God reaches back on the day of Pentecost to pick something for the day that he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit and births the church and empowers the people to go and tell everyone, you're not alone. God is with you and God will live in you. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, of all the things that God could have selected, God chose to go all the way back and reach into Joel, the very words that we read earlier. It's going to sound almost like that, except there's one line added at the end, and it says this, I will pour out my spirit on who? All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men, like Jim and others, will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Evangelism is telling good news. That's all it simply is, telling good news. It's whose good news are you telling? A new restaurant comes to town. You can't wait to tell your friends, oh, it was so good, you got to get over there. Or somebody's going to go away today and say, the choir was magnificent, and they were. It's good news. It's evangelism. It's prophesying. And God has good news that God wants us to share with our families, with our friends, and even with our enemies, and especially on a day when our world is on the brink of war, and our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine are literally fighting for their lives, we need good news. We need God's news and God's hope. I went recently to a production of Oliver Twist. And if you remember, one of the quintessential words or moments is when the little boy dares to bring his empty bowl and say, "More, please." God longs for us to desire more of God, more of God's Spirit, more of God's work, more of God's power, more of God's presence in our lives. And so in Galatians chapter 5, we read of the fruit of the Spirit. And I love this. It says the fruit of the Spirit is, would you read them out loud with me? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, meaning you can have as much as you want. Nobody is going to withhold these from you. Now, I want to leave that on the screen for just a moment and ask you to do a little introspection and soul searching. I want you to identify, you're not going to say this out loud, this is just between you and God. If we were being really honest today, and we should because we're in church, which one of these are you doing a good job at? Like God is just pouring that fruit into your life. Which one, if we had a grape cluster up here, it would be the big grape in the cluster. You can have more than one, but identify one or more of those. Because here's the next question. Just you and God, no one else. Are there a few of these that are a little underdeveloped or need some work? You know, sometimes I need patience when I'm driving. Sometimes others need patience when I'm driving. Sometimes when I'm reading all the hateful comments, snide remarks, I think, where's the kindness? Where's my kindness? Caleb, even at age 2, understands that gentleness is strength under control. Like that there's an appropriate amount of strength to use because he's held babies. Because he's a big boy at 2. The fruit of the Spirit is, meaning that you don't just get some and others are withheld. It's all in you because God's in you. This is the nature of God. This is what God does in us and through us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The level to which it operates or functions is on us, our willingness to, God, love through me, be kind through me, help me to be more faithful, let your goodness shine in me and through me. Because no one's holding that back from you except you and me. So I have on my refrigerator art from my grandchildren. And I also have this little square that took the concepts of the fruit of the Spirit and related them to one. Like you've got this vine that runs through and you've got the grape that cluster that hangs off of it. And so let's look at what it would look like if we all thought of it through the filter of love. If God is love and God is love, then look at what that might be. That joy is love's response. That peace is love's assurance. That patience is love's nature. That kindness is love's action. Goodness is love's motive. Gentleness is love's touch. Faithfulness is love's character. Self-control is love's outcome. It's all about the ways that God loves us and loves through us, expressed in these various ways. Joshua couldn't wait for Caleb to get up. When he finally got up, he said, "Today is the day." Bleary-eyed Caleb couldn't understand. He leads him into his room, Joshua does, and takes him over and puts him right in front of the closet that has a lock on it that has been placed there because Joshua was told, if there's anything you don't want your little brother to get into, put it here. Today is the day. Today is the day that the lock comes up and you can have everything in this closet that you want to play with. The day of Pentecost was that kind of day too. You can have all of God that you want and need. Nothing is being withheld from you. So what does the Holy Spirit do? The Bible says the Holy Spirit advocates for us. The Holy Spirit convicts us that we're going in the wrong direction because that's destructive for us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit course corrects for us, and the Holy Spirit inspires us. And it's with that word I want to close, because Ruach is the Old Testament word for spirit, and it means wind or breath. And I want you to say it out loud with me. It sounds like Klingon, but it's really Hebrew. So let's say Ruach together. Ruach. Now let's try it one more time and realize if you don't get a little on you, you haven't said it right. So here we go. Ready? Ruach. And it means wind, breath. Pneuma is the term in the New Testament. It's how we get the word pneumonia. They come from the same root. It's contagious. It's wind. It's breath. Because as long as you and I have breath, we have the Spirit of God stirring up these beautiful fruit and gifts in our lives. So would you take a deep breath with me? That's inspiration. And let it out. Now take a deep breath as a prayer for the world that's breaking even as we speak. And let it out. Think about that family member that maybe needs to know a little more of love or joy or peace. Or that coworker that needs to know patience and kindness and goodness. Or the neighbor that needs faithfulness or your gentleness. Or for God to intervene in life spinning out of control. And for whatever that circumstance is, would you take yet another deep breath and let it out? Because God doesn't want us simply to know about God. God wants us to know God. To know that the God who is for you is the God who is with you. And as you have said yes to Jesus, that God lives in you. When my son turned 3, after having been a terrific 2, we had a birthday party in the house. Our pastoral staff came. Friends came. Family were there. There was a pile of presents. And when it came time to open them, with every single gift, Kurt Downing took an inordinately long time to unwrap it and not tear the paper. And then opened it, and with the deepest of surprise, eyes wide. Kurt says, oh, it's just what I always wanted. Next gift, unwrapped a little more quickly. Oh, it's just what I always wanted. With every single gift, the same exclamation, and that's a grateful heart, isn't it? When you realize what God is offering you with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, wouldn't it be our deepest joy just to simply to say to God, it's just what I always wanted and more than I could have possibly dreamed of. That day is now. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Amen.
Told ya. God bless you, Jim. Thank you very much for sharing message with us today.